TJBuffenbarger.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Come to you again from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you enjoy the podcast, don't forget to rate us on Stitcher and iTunes. You can interact with us each and every week via Twitter at TJ Slideways, via our Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, and also via email podcast@TJSlideways.com. Guest appearing on this Monday edition of the podcast on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline includes Chris Andrews to discuss his feature victory Friday night at the Attica Raceway Park. We'll talk about that win, his new team he's paired up with this season, and also a little bit about his foray into midget car racing during the off season. Then we're also going to start our road to the Little 500 with Jacob Wilson discussing his exploits at the Little 500 and his busy couple of weeks he has coming up around the month of May and Anderson Speedway and some of the other things going on. So Chris Andrews and Jacob Wilson joining us tonight on the program. But let's get right down to it. Talk a little bit about what's going on in the racing world. Some of the latest news from over the weekend and today on
the latest dirt.
And of course, a very busy week. Got washed out again. It rained a lot. In fact, if you're even up here in Michigan, it snowed. The weather obliterated most of the racing in Michigan and Ohio. State of Indiana, though, in the northern part and southern portions of the state, ended up okay, and that's where the World of Outlaws Craftsman Sprint Car Series managed to dodge the weather. How about Plymouth Speedway on Friday night? Brad Sweet picking up the victory there, but Plymouth Speedway hosting their first World of Outlaw event. A lot of people doubting if they could pull this off. The facility still under construction a bit, but all I heard were pretty much good things out of the event. It was a good opportunity for them to show off the impressive facility. I'll admit, I was one of the doubters. I was really, wondering if they were going to be able to pull off that World of Outlaws event Friday at Plymouth, but they managed to do it. So hats off to everyone at the World of Outlaws and Plymouth Speedway for getting that done. Of course, Saturday, the Outlaws headed off to Tri-State Speedway in Hobstad, Indiana. David Gravel holding off a late surge by Brady Bacon for the win. How about that podium? You had David Gravel, Brady Bacon, Parker Price Miller on the podium on Saturday. Pretty young podium for a World of Outlaws sprint car event. Everything getting washed out, kind of stacked up the field at Lawrenceburg Speedway. Big car count over there for Saturday night. The lone non-wing venue in Indiana getting a race in. John Stambro picking up the win there. And since they were washed out, I went to my standby. I watched Knoxville Raceway on the cushion on Saturday night. As I jokingly call it couch racing. Got to see Brooke Tatnall's large lead get a race with a caution. Four laps to go. Brian Brown taking advantage, picking up his first Knoxville Raceway victory of the season. Willie Croft earlier in the week revealed he's going to be coming out to the Midwest for the Brad Doherty Classic and some other events. He picked up the King of the West sprint car victory at Thunder Bowl Raceway. Kevin Thomas Jr., your winner last night at the Kokomo Speedway, opening night over at Kokomo. And the big news from today, Brian Clausen finishing his veteran refresher test at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in preparation for the 100th Indianapolis 500. And then about 57 laps in on that. And then 10th fastest in the actual practice session this afternoon. Full story about that on TJSlideways.com. And a pretty awesome start to the month of May for Brian Clausen. And that's going to conclude
the latest dirt.
I mentioned earlier, we were a little surprised. Plymouth Speedway is in our backyard, and we really want that to do well. And we're looking forward to a lot of stuff, and it's going to be pretty neat. As that facility grows, the impressive grandstands, everything they have there is very impressive. It's slowly come together. I mean, if you had told me the first time I went there when the dirt track was in the middle, the paved track was on the outside, that we were going to be seeing a World of Outlaws event at the Plymouth Speedway, I probably would have thought you were crazy. And it was pretty amazing to see that all come together. And Brad Sweet, of course, continuing his great season over there at Hobstadt, and David Gravel starting to come on a little bit of late, starting to click with Barry Jackson and the crew over there at CJB Motorsports. It's going to be interesting to see how that team picks up the pace as the summer wears on. We're going to take a commercial break, but when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk to Chris Andrews. We're going to talk about the Fremont Attica Sprint title, his new team, midget racing, a whole bunch of different things with Chris to talk about this upcoming season, what his plans are for the year. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Podcast.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. Seven races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Podcast. Our first guest joining us on the Specialty of Fuels and Logistics Hotline was your feature winner Friday night during the Eric Phillips Classic at the Attica Raceway Park, and quite a thrilling finish for Chris Andrews to pick up the feature victory there. Chris, thank you for taking time out to join us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First off, let's talk about how everything that led into winning Friday night, because at one point it sounds like you were sitting in fourth position watching second and third place manage to get tangled up with a lap car.
Yeah, you know, Attica and Fremont, tough competition. We were just sitting back there, you know, fourth and fifth for a while, and just kind of one of them races where everybody's kind of strung out, and you know, before you know it, second and third took each other out, caution came out, and somehow we're sitting in second. But, you know, Attica, a wide open racetrack, real slick, you know, there's lots of options. So we made the best of it, and it was a pretty good show. We slid Caleb Griffiths there and came out with a win.
I was going to say, were you sitting back far enough that it wasn't real close to you when they got together, or did you have to take some evasive action to avoid Philo and Reed when they tangled?
Yeah, they were actually a good 10 car lengths ahead of me. It was quite a ways ahead. So pretty avoidable, and I got to see it all unfold, you know, and like I said, you know, I was trying quite a few different lines and just trying to make things work just to gain any little bit I could. It, you know, wasn't really getting anywhere. And just like that, you know, things change. So just you can't ever give up. You just never know what's around the corner.
You just have to put yourself in position to take advantage. And that's what you did with Caleb Griffith. You mentioned sliding him for the lead and what sounded like quite a wild battle there at the end.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we split him, and I was waiting for him to come back around. And just with the slick racetrack, you know, not much grip. He did get back, wide us going into three, and got pretty close. But like I said, the track was pretty wide and pretty racy, and Attic has been doing a really good job with that here the past couple of years, getting a real good racetrack. So pretty fun to race on. We'll head back there this week and hopefully do it again.
And that was your first win with your new team this year. You're teamed up with Joe Armbruster. How did that deal come together?
You know, Joe called me. He was actually the first guy to call me when the news came out that I parted ways with the 19 car, and kind of wanted to weigh out my options. And we decided to put this deal together pretty late. It was right around, I think it was beginning of February. So we did not have much time to put things together. And we really showed up at the first race with not much, and still managed to do okay the first couple races. And just every week since then, we've just been building an awesome team. And hopefully, you know, we're getting faster here every week.
Was Joe someone that you had cultivated a relationship before this happened, or was that is this kind of the first time you two have connected with you driving the car?
No, I think everybody knows Joe. You know, and Joe's just been around. He came from asphalt probably 5 or 6 years ago, and he's raced himself, you know, a handful of times each year. And you know, I've known him, and I've talked to him every time I see him at the racetrack. But you know, that probably did help. And I didn't know what I was getting into. And frankly, there's just not many options anymore with car owners and stuff like that. You know, so I decided this was probably going to be the best fit. And honestly, it's going a lot better so far than I thought it would. So pretty happy with it so far.
With that in mind, what is the plan for you and the Armbrusters this year? Where are we going to see you racing?
Well, you know, tentatively, we picked out about 20 races to do, and it was really just going to be the fast series, and well, now you've got all these rainouts, so we're trying to race as much as we can because so much has been gutted from our schedule. So most likely the fast stuff, Attica, Fremont, Speed Week, hopefully, and maybe the Kings Royal, Brad Doty Classic, stuff like that.
Chris Andrews, your feature winner from Attica Raceway Park on Friday, joining us on the line, and we've been talking about sprint car racing so far, but this winter you ventured into a new foray. You went to do some midget racing this year, and that was kind of out of the blue. When did you decide that you wanted to go midget racing this winter?
Actually, you know, I'm pretty good. You know, Christopher Bell races Attic in Fremont. We stayed pretty close ever since he raced there and he left on the NASCAR, but you know, it's something I've always wanted to do. And yeah, the deal we put together with Tyler Thomas and his dad kind of was short notice, and threw that deal together, and really good cars, really good equipment. Went out there with my lack of experience. We did okay. Trying to get into that car more this summer when time allows. I mean, we race so often in the wing car, there's really not any off nights, but when there is, we're going to try to race that thing a little bit to get some experience and go into Chili Bowl next year with a little better outlook, you know, so we'll see what happens.
So, and if I remember right, if I was talking to people, right, you had never even been to a midget race until the first time you drove it, correct? Or is incorrect?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I did some non-wing sprint car stuff, you know, for the Burmeisters, and I drove the 16 car, you know, dabbled in that a little bit, but yeah, I'd never been to a midget race in my life, and, way to start out, right?
Yeah, go big or go home, right? Exactly. Chris yeah. Andrews joining yeah. us online. So now that you've done it, what was the biggest thing that helped you maybe with the wing car, the midget? And what was maybe the biggest detriment to not really, to kind of jumping in the deep end there and not really knowing what to expect?
Yeah, I don't think there's really anything that helped me other than the fact that our cars are so powerful. Compared to the midget, they're, you know, the midget's pretty low-key in power, but thing that hurt me the most was, you know, a wing car, whether it's 305, 360, 410, whatever. You just drive so straight that you naturally find yourself having a hard time keeping the rear end out in a midget. You just want to drive in straight. And, your hands say one thing and the brain says the other. So it's difficult. You know, definitely something you need to. I don't bounce around from car to car as much as I should be able to drive everything I get in. So I'm doing the best I can to hopefully get in midget as much as possible.
Well, Chris, it's already off to a good start this year. You got some midget experience, a feature win, and I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Definitely, you know, of course, you know, Joe Armbruster, he picked me up there and got us going pretty good in his car, and Santa Bogan, you know, they've been with us for the past 2 years. So hopefully carry that relationship on and Andrew Barman, our crew chief, and Landon there in the shop, we're pretty good group of guys, and we're hitting it off pretty good. We'll see what happens.
Wait a second, did I hear that right? Former TJ Slideways columnist Andrew Barman is actually turning the wrenches on the car, not just stooging on this thing.
No, he is. He's never really had that opportunity, and Andrew has worked on the midget. I've drove over there at Tyler Thomas's, we go to the racetrack obviously to win and just get along, and yeah, he's having at it right now. So
we're
pretty good.
We're a launch pad for all kinds of different things in motorsports over here. Well, Chris, yeah. I appreciate you taking time out for joining us, and I'm sure if you guys keep rolling, we're going to be talking to you again later in the summer.
Hopefully, it's after that Bradbury Classic or something special like that. So I look forward to talking to you.
All right, sounds good. Chris Andrews, we're going to take a commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to start our preview of the Payless Little 500 with former winner Jacob Wilson. You're listening to the TJSlideways.com podcast.
Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. 7 races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Welcome back to the TJSlideways.com podcast. Coming up in a little bit, Jacob Wilson will be joining us to talk Little 500 as we start our preview of the Payless Little 500 coming up in a couple of weeks. Already over 30 cars entered for that event. It's going to be a great week down at Anderson Speedway. Looking forward to getting down there here in a couple weeks or so. But the weather this past week locally has created kind of an interesting development in the ever-changing storyline of the new Sprints on Engine Pro Sprints on Dirt presented by ARP, the new rule package, and the emergence of the Great Lakes Super Sprints as well. So after multiple tries to get the sod opener in, it's now been rescheduled for the end of July, and as has the I-96 date for the Great Lakes Super Sprints, which creates an interesting scenario. Now the Sprints on Dirt are going to open with their new rule package at the track's biggest, fastest racetrack at Hartford Motor Speedway. Now, sometimes Hartford's a bit intimidating and will maybe scare a car or two away just because it's big, it has concrete walls all the way around it. And but now people have the itch to race, and talking to a lot of race teams, it seems like a lot of guys are apt to show up, at least to shake down cars on Friday nights, get an opportunity to try the new tire out, see what they think of it, and they're going to go into Hartford. In addition, this will be the first race on Hartford's new widened racetrack. They've taken the racetrack basically down to the light poles. Now, in the infield, cutting a brand new bottom lane into the racetrack, so a new wider Hartford Speedway awaits the Sprints on Dirt on Friday. And I just saw a post earlier today, a little bit of an increased payout for start money for Saturday at the Butler Speedway for the Sprints on Dirt. So that is one strength we did notice in the sod schedule when it came out. Lots of two-day weekends. Now one of those two-day weekends is going to kick off their 2016 season. Now the Great Lakes Super Sprints will wait in for a couple weeks here to get going, and it's going to be in support, not co-sanctioned, but in support of the NRA Sprint Invader races on Memorial Day weekend at Friday at Lima Land Motorsports Park, Saturday at the Waynesfield Raceway Park, and then Sunday night at the Eldora Speedway. Now, a lot of those teams enjoy that swing, wanted to go do it, so they work together, they talk to the teams, they want to go do the races, so they're going to go ahead and go down those 3 days. They're technically not co-sanctioned events, but they're going to go do those three-day events. Then they're going to turn around, and their next task is a co-sanctioned weekend of three shows with the ASCS Lucas Oil National Tour. So they're starting off on the deep end of things, for sure. Definitely some high water mark there. Some tough competition coming up for those teams. So they're going to do that for three shows. And then they'll follow up. Their first standalone event will be coming up later in June at the Mount Pleasant Speedway. So the complexion of that situation has changed a little bit with the weather. It's just been absolutely brutal up here. About the only track that's gotten any racing in. Crystal's gotten a couple of nights in. Berlin got a night in. Kalamazoo Speedway has dodged some of the rain on Friday night and has managed to race down there. But for the most part, it's been wet, rainy, and gross, and nobody's really wanted to race. In fact, at one point, we had sleet and snow. It was the first recorded snow in Grand Rapids since 1973. To give you some perspective, I was born in 1977. So, and just unbelievably ugly weather that hopefully is turning the corner here, because we've got some big races coming up, some really big race weekends, especially up here and around the country. We've got the World of Outlaws going out to Pennsylvania this week. Hopefully the weather cooperates for that as well, with Lance DeWeese and Greg Hodnett really hot right now. DeWeese really coming out at the Grove of late. He'll be a favorite to win there, and Hodnett's been a favorite everywhere he's pulled in. And may have cooled off just a little bit. I mean, a little tiny bit leading into the Outlaw Week. DeWeese probably the hottest team coming in there locally for them. But, man, the Outlaws are just bringing it this year. I mean, Halmstadt, a couple of guys snuck in there. Kerry Madsen got a couple of them at Eldora, which wasn't a huge surprise. But, I mean, the Outlaws have been tough this year. They haven't had quite as many upsets as they've had early in the year over the past couple of seasons, and they're really bringing it this year, and it's going to be tough. I think they're going to make a good showing in Central Pennsylvania this coming week. But like I said, the weather's just got to get better at some point, and there's still a lot of races. It's kind of fun. When the weather happens like that, we always plan out our front page and whatnot. It's always a scramble, but now it almost seems like second nature. We already know what to go look for. We've had such awful weather this year. Reprogramming the website of what's going to appear doesn't seem quite as large of a task. But we're going to take another commercial break. But when we come back, we're getting ready for Jacob Wilson. We're going to talk about the Payless Little 500, the most unique event in all of sprint car racing. In case you don't know, it's 500 laps around the high bank quarter mile Anderson Speedway, required 2 pit stops. Not much rule in the line of rules for the pit stops. You can use a variety of refueling mechanisms. You just can't have a starter. And the push trucks push the cars off, green or yellow, it doesn't matter. And it is one of the most insane motorsports events you'll ever see. And it's one of our favorites. I joke with everyone, if we did it all the time, it wouldn't be kind of special, because it's once a year. And it's such a unique thing. It's become a bit of a tradition for us to come down there and cover it. We're going to start our preview towards that coming up in just a moment. So we're going to come right back with Jacob Wilson in just a moment. You're listening to the TJ Sideways Podcast. Stay tuned.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Glade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. 7 races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Podcast.
The latest dirt.
Actually, we're past the latest dirt as I'm bumping buttons on the studio switchboard here. But joining us on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline is a 2-time winner of the Payless Little 500. And last year made an amazing charge. We're just talking off the air during the commercial break after cutting a tire to finish fourth and looking to win his third this year would be Jacob Wilson. Jacob, thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. You know, a little bench racing during the week keeps us young and keeps us going for the weekend.
Well, I hear you there. And we were just talking off air that you just got back from Indiana. You did an off season, if there is such a thing, with the Bondurant Driving School teaching out there. And you're welcome back to snowy conditions, at least up here. I don't know if the weather was that brutal down in Indiana, but it was just awful here.
Oh, yeah, coming back, you know, hadn't seen 30 degrees all winter and came back in May and saw 30 degrees. I wasn't happy about that, you know. Brought back my shorts and thought that was all I was going to need, but apparently it needed to bring the snowsuit as well.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal here. And as I said, I felt you were the perfect person to kick off our Payless Little 500 coverage and winning it twice. But let's go back to last year because you had a pretty good run of good luck because it takes some skill, but it takes some good luck to win that race. But last year, your luck turned sour pretty early. Let's talk about how you cut the tire early in the race. How did that occur?
Yeah, lap 38, we hit something, actually broke a bleeder in the wheel, and tire went flat right away. You know, had to pit early under green, which is never ideal for that race. You always want to pit under caution and pit as late as possible sometimes, but pitting that early, and then it was, I think, the wise words of Eric Gordon for me as a driver. You know, I think winning that 2 years in a row, you'd be as confident as can be, but when that happens, you get rattled. Eric came over the radio and goes, or actually said that now we've had our bad luck, it's time for everybody else to have theirs. And as the race panned out, that kind of played in our favor. He was right about that one.
Now, you went down six laps. I was going to ask you, when that happens to you and you're pitting under green, what's going through your head behind the wheel? Did you stay calm? Were you starting to panic a little bit? How long did it take you to catch your breath and kind of calm down? Or did you stay pretty level through the whole thing?
We were okay for the most part. I know it took us two laps to get the tire changed. The biggest thing there, you know, that's 24 seconds of green flag laps there if it took us two laps. So, and then guys got the car back going. 24 seconds seems like a lifetime. But then as the push truck came up and hit me, it actually spun us to the one side. Push truck had to back off of us again, had to pull the car out of gear, shove it forward, lock it back in gear, and get the push truck back on us. And by then, we ended up going down a total of six laps. So that was rattling in itself. It was nice getting a caution a few laps later on the track, you know, kind of to regroup and set our game plan for the rest of the night at that point. But it does rattle you. And at that point, you realize that, okay, your night's changed from a leisurely drive, hopefully staying out of trouble, to driving like a bat out of hell for 500 laps and hopefully being able to survive it.
I was going to ask, without giving away too many secrets, of course, we can give away as many as you want. How much does that change your strategy as a whole race team with pit stops and everything when you have to make that early pit stop within the first 40 laps?
Completely. And I know we usually, like most teams, would go with a two-stop strategy and just try to hit our windows. But that one there we ended up using throughout the whole race. We had four pit stops then. And just, I could change tires three times. Once was a fuel only. It was pretty hectic. You know, from that point on, I'm just focused on passing as many cars as possible. Whenever Clint, my brother, came over the radio and said, pit now, it was okay, hanging on the left. And like I said, it panned out the best we could have had it happen, but still a bummer, you know, not to get the shot at three in a row like we thought we were going to have, but at the same time, recovering from 33rd, six laps down to fourth place, two laps down, is a pretty cool run in itself.
Of course, Jacob Wilson joining us talking about the Payless Little 500, the most unique sprint car race, maybe the most unique auto race in the world. It could be definitely a candidate for that. You mentioned you have Eric Gordon spotting for you. He's won this race nine times. Obviously, you know, has some knowledge to share there. With him in your ear, what does he bring to you compared to maybe, not to say that other spotters weren't good that he had before, but what does he bring to you that you were a little bit surprised about spotting for you after he started doing it?
Yeah, Eric has that insight as a driver that someone that doesn't drive wouldn't understand. So if we're out there, say 2 years ago, last 150 laps, we only had two cars left in the lead lap and we were strolling. He let me know when I got a half track lead on Jerry and say, okay, you get set to cruise. You don't need to pass him again. Just little insights like that are letting you know what cars are where the squirrels are, where the people are you have to watch out for are. And then at the same time, he has that demeanor that just nothing bothers Eric. I don't know. We're joking. Said, okay, guys, what do you want to do under this pit stop? And this is after we're six laps down. And he goes, oh, well, you're not going to pit this time. The guys are off getting ice cream. We'll pit next time. And as a driver, you know, six laps down, you're freaking out. The race has just completely changed for you. That throws you a curveball, makes you think about something completely different and calm down. And it's just something that I didn't expect, and it definitely helped me chill out for a bit and actually get back focused.
Of course, Eric, you know, doing that and stuff, does he help you during the week too, or does he pretty much just show up on race day and spot for you?
He's with me all week there. We don't use a spotter for Wednesday, but he'll spot for me at the fairgrounds Thursday, IRP Friday, and then Saturday there at the Little Five. Doesn't really work on the stuff too much. We have a full team for that, but he's there just as far as insight whenever I need him, which is nice.
Jacob Wilson joining us. We were talking about, I see a tweet about this, about Brian Clausen's four cars in 4 days over the past weekend. But you have a hell week coming up. You are doing a serious amount of racing the week of the Little 500. Why don't you break down what your schedule is going to be?
Yeah, we actually, you know, I like to give Clausen a hard time because right now he's the premier guy in our sport. So anytime you can give somebody like that a little bit of rib jabbing, you have to. We actually, starting this Saturday, we'll run a pavement wing sprint car race in Ohio. Same Sunday, pavement wing sprint car race over in Ohio as well with the Must See Racing Series. Then practice Tuesday in the Little 500 car and pavement wing sprint car at Anderson. Race the pavement wing sprint car Wednesday at Anderson. Qualify for the Little 500 on Thursday, then run the Indy Fairgrounds and the Dirt Silver Crown car on Thursday. Then run the pavement Silver Crown car at IRP on Friday and the Little 500 itself Saturday. And not to cap it off, you know, we like to go cherry picking, so we're going to hit the World of Outlaws over at Lawrenceburg there on Monday.
Yeah, cherry picking, I'm sure. Jacob Wilson joining us on the line. And you are going to be a seriously, seriously busy guy with that schedule coming up. I want to talk to you a little bit about leading into the Little 500, the qualifying and whatnot. Do you guys qualify in like your race trim with your fuel rig and everything, or your fuel vents attached to everything? Do you try to stay in that configuration all week, or do you trim the car down and then add that stuff later once you're qualified?
Yeah, we trim it down for the most part, right? Like a normal standard sprint car. I mean, no special fuel tank attachments, no special Nerf bars, nothing like that, no special ventilation. We actually attach all that stuff Friday if we have a good qualifying run and build the car for the race Saturday. But, yeah, you know, as far as a driver, the most stressful thing that entire week is qualifying Thursday. I mean, it's pretty rough. You have to you get three shots at it, but if your first run doesn't go well, not too often will your second and third run be better. Usually your tires are going to be a little bit greasy. They're going to be a little bit more worn. You're not going to have that fresh rubber like you like. So it puts a lot of pressure, a lot of emphasis on that first time out to make sure that car's a rocket ship. And then, obviously, not only is it important to qualify up front so you can avoid some of the trouble in the back of the field, your pit spot is actually picked off of your qualifying time. So first quick qualifier pole position gets first pick on the pit stops as well, which matters. You know, you want to get this certain special pit spot. We've been lucky to get the one we like for the last few years, but it's always a game there as well.
Jake Wilson joining us. And for our listeners that don't know, it's a four-lap, just like Indianapolis, qualifying effort there for the Little 500. How different is that for you to approach as a driver when you got to cut four good laps on that qualifying effort?
It's tough, you know, because you kind of think about it. You don't want to just glaze those tires over and lay down one good one and burn that car up. You have to actually conserve it a little bit in qualifying, which is unusual. But at the same time, you cannot have bad laps. You have to go out there and push the car for four hard laps, never missing your mark. If you do, it's a difference in three rows in qualifying. The last few years, the field's been so fast that if you mess up once, you're dropping a row each corner. You mess up. So it's a lot tougher than it used to be, that's for sure. And just the overall race pace in itself jumping up there quite a bit. I know with Clausen and Santos leading the way the last couple of years, They've been like a bat out of hell out there. So trying to stay on a lead lap for your first segment's tough in its own.
Jake Wilson joining us on the line. When you're new to Little 500 and you're out there for the first time as a race team, if you think back to your first couple of efforts, I know covering the race, about 100 laps in, I always see that caution right around there come out. I almost jumped the gun thinking, oh, we're going to see pit stops now. And it's a little worried. How tempting is it to take to pit too early in the first half of the race?
Very. You know, you want to make it to where you can make it on a two-stop strategy, and you'll see a lot of guys will pit just as soon as they know they can make it. We like to wait and pit a little later, just due to the fact you'll have fresher rubber at the end of the race. I mean, some stuff like that, but you're also taking a big gamble. I mean, if you get a caution about lap 125, you're thinking, okay, well, we can make it now. We might not get a caution. Say if we don't get one until like lap 230 or something, we might be low on fuel. It is going to cause an entire backup. You might start bleeding positions. It's a really big gamble, but you just have to think about the way things are going to work out. I know we enter the race every year with strategies A through Z and end up going with strategy 5. So it's a little bit different than what you think.
Jake Wilson joining us. Everyone's got a crazy pit story at the Lowell 500. Pit stops are nuts. What's the craziest thing that's happened to you during pit stops or in the pit area, in the crossover at the Lowell 5?
No, not too much crazy has happened. I know everybody's got the frustrating waiting on a truck story. I'd say the worst one was last year coming with a flat tire, and my guys do their job, get back out ready for two laps under, or only get lapped twice under green, and then getting turned by a push truck. That sucked. For the most part, I mean, as far as my team messing up, that never happened. These guys are like a machine. But there's one time, 4 or 5 years ago, fuel lever forgot to get turned on. So that was a bad one. I think every team does that once. And after that, you realize it's never going to happen again.
It only takes once. Jacob Wilson joining us on the line. You're doing some different stuff lately. You've been doing some wing dirt sprint car racing. In fact, the other day I was giving you a bad time at the – I like the car, the number. I'm glad I don't have to score it. The numbers are a little hard to read, but I think I'm just getting old, to be honest. But you've been doing some wing dirt racing, getting the hang of that. How has that been going?
It's definitely a big learning curve. It's nothing like I've ever done. We've raced everything there is to race open wheel, except for the wing dirt cars. It's a huge learning curve. It's not like the pavement wing sprint cars, not like a pavement non-wing sprint car, not like a Silver Crown car, not like a midget. There's nothing it's like. It's all momentum. You kind of drive the thing like a go-kart, but you still have to just nut up and let it eat sometimes. And just learning about the way dirt tracks change for primary, I've always been a pavement guy, learning a lot about the way a track changes on the dirt. We actually are leading. We're still leading on lap 15 out of 30 at a MOA show at LaSalle a few weeks back. And next thing I know, Parker Price Miller, Bill Balog, and two other cars just blow right by me through the middle, and I'm beating down the wall on the cushion. And that thing took rubber the lap before. I didn't see it, and there we go, back to the tail. So it's a whole different animal. I can read a pavement track and know exactly what a pavement track's going to do, but this dirt is a whole different thing. So learning that's the toughest part. The car is the car handling, you know, it's not anything too extreme. It's just adapting to the dirt mainly.
Jacob Wilson joining us on the line. How much more wing dirt racing are you going to be doing post the Lowell 500? Are you going to be gravitating back more into your pavement schedule once you clear the Lowell 500?
We're planning on doing a lot more dirt, actually. With the pavement stuff kind of fading away from what it used to be, it's been no pavement not really any pavement non-wing races to talk about anymore other than the Lowell 5. What we're going to do is try to focus on a couple weeks where we can get a lot of races in. Planning on doing the Ohio Speed Week with the All-Star guys and then hitting up some other World of Outlaws events, some MOA events, just trying to learn as much as we can. And it helps driving, you know, racing with the Outlaws. You learn so much more those nights. You might go there and not make it out of the B main, not make it out of the C main, but you learn more than sometimes running a local show and finishing the top five. Just seeing what the guys do, seeing how they drive, where they're driving certain points of the race, and then how they're passing. There's a lot we're soaking in right now, and that's the important part for us.
One more thing back to Lowell 500 stuff. How happy are you that that Silver Crown race is not at IRP is not the same day as the Lowell 500 now?
I'm stoked. Yeah, we're actually going to run it this year. Last year we did a start and park over there just to get our points and our money. But, there was no way I was going to waste 100 laps on me and my team at IRP whenever we can go have a good shot win the Lowell 5. That'd be kind of stupid just to even think about doing. So this year with it on Friday, I'm absolutely happy for that. We're going to be able to make a good run at IRP. Well, a good run at IRP has been elusive for us, but a good effort at IRP. So you know, that's one of those tracks where we're either top three or we are 10th and back. There's no medium there.
Jacob Wilson joining us. Well, Jacob, it's almost here, and I know I'm stoked, and you're in the shop getting ready, getting the cars ready, and I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every year we have a big bunch of people come in, especially for that. I know Daryl Gaducci and the Jetstar guys, they always be part of our team, even though they've kind of gotten out with 6R. Other than that, God Eyes has actually jumped on board with us. We actually have some local companies, you know, Crawfordsville Paper Products, Anderson Transport, Pickett Farms, quite a few guys that are actually just going to support us for this one race. I mean, it's a good race to support us for. And then we actually last year picked up a title sponsor that's going to be on the car again this year at Anderson with Mitch Smith Auto there in Anderson, Indiana. And he was stoked last year with a fourth place run. I hope we can actually improve on that this year for him.
Well, Jacob, looking forward to the big week at Anderson. Best of luck and look forward to seeing you down there.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there in the campground as always, throwing a good party. You know that.
All right, Jacob Wilson, we're going to take another commercial break and wrap up this edition of the TJ Sideways Podcast.
Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
The must-see Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. Seven races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit mustseeracing.com.
Welcome back to the TJ Sideways Podcast. Before we continue, we'd like to congratulate the following drivers that won with Maxim Racing Chassis this week. Lance DeWeese, Justin Sanders over at Ocean Speedway, Brian Brown, and Corey Couts winning. Corey won his first career feature at Knoxville. Bill Balog at Beaver Dam with the IRA Sprint Cars, and Tyler Thomas with the NSL 360s at Callaway Raceway. For more information, visit racemaxims.com. And that's going to wrap up this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Of course, I want to thank Chris Andrews and Jacob Wilson for joining us tonight. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, make sure to rate us on Stitcher and iTunes, and you can interact with us each week at TJ Slideways on Twitter, the Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, and via email, podcast@TJSlideways.com. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.